Welcome to the Man Cave Podcast with Dan Casper.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to this episode of the Man Cave Podcast, brought to you by Hy-Vee and Toyson Ford. Dan Casper here, as always. Big thanks for tuning in to this episode of the podcast, where we're going to talk a little football. Devondre Campbell, former Packers linebacker, had some stuff to say about his former team, or maybe some of his coaches from his former team. We're going to go through that coming up in the second half of this episode. But we begin because, well, the brackets are out. Selection Sunday was yesterday. March Madness is here. College basketball, for a lot of us, maybe our favorite time of the year, because you got college basketball with the tournament. You got opening day for baseball coming up. Masters is coming up here. The NFL draft is going on. We have free agency going on right now, too. The NBA and the NHL are starting to wrap up their regular seasons and getting ready for the postseason. So let's take a look at the brackets, shall we? Let's take a look at the men's bracket. Well, actually, before we do that, I want to talk a little bit about the Badgers from what we saw in the Big Ten Conference tournament. So Badgers, to me, looked like that team that we saw pre-February, you know, when they got as high as number 6 in the country. And then whatever the hell happened, something just changed where they just fell flat on their face. It was hard to come by wins. Nothing came easy. Then it was like as soon as the Big Ten Conference tournament started, and this is only just a handful of games. Can't ignore that stretch that they went on in February and such. But they finally started to look like the team that we saw for the first part of the season, which should give you a little bit of confidence as they start this tournament. However, seeding-wise, matchup-wise, that may not be the case. We'll get to that in a second. But, you know, looking at this Big Ten Conference tournament, I think the Badgers moved up a spot because of their win against Purdue, because they looked a little bit better. They reminded us a lot of the team that we saw at the beginning part of the season. A.J. Storr. To me, A.J. Storr, if Bo Ryan was coaching his team, I feel like he'd be pulling out all of his hair watching A.J. Storr play sometimes. I mean, trying to do an alley-oop off the backboard and such, and maybe chucking up some threes when he shouldn't be chucking up some threes. I mean, the dude is a freaking amazing talent, scoring a bunch of points. I'm glad he's on the Badgers, but there's some plays it's like, oh, dude, you know, come on now. And I just feel like I was chuckling with that off-the-backboard play when he tried to pull a Trace McGrady. And I think it was Bill Raftery who said it on the broadcast, too. Can you imagine Bo Ryan watching that on his couch or something like that? So there is parts of A.J. Storr's game I think he needs to get a little bit better at, or you know, chucking up some threes. He makes some threes, but there's a time and a place, I think. And it seemed like at certain times it probably wasn't the best shot selection to attempt those threes. But nonetheless, what a tournament for him. And Chucky Hepburn, man, you got to give that guy a ton of credit. He's a guy that, you know, Badgers fans throughout his Badger career been up and down on him. You can say, you know, inconsistency has been a big issue with him, but defensively and making some clutch baskets, especially the layup to force overtime in that Purdue game, he had himself a hell of a tournament. And hopefully that can go into this to the NCAA tournament, because I am one of those. I know a lot of people believe it too, but I am one of those that view the tournament as, you know, teams that have really good backcourts. It's all about guard play when it comes to the tournament. I'm one of those that believes if you've got good guard play and you've got a good backcourt, you're going to have a shot to go deep in this tournament. So I think Chucky Hepburn, when it comes to, you know, some key players, I think Chucky's got to be one of those key players for the Badgers to win some games and to make a run in this tournament. And he had himself a great Big Ten Conference tournament. You know, with that Purdue game, though, I want to bring up the Zach Edey thing, where, you know, the narrative out there is, how do you officiate Zach Edey? Because he's so big. You know, we know this. He's a big player, and people are throwing out the, you know, the Shaq comparison when Shaq got to the NBA and such. How do you officiate Shaq? You know, could be a foul on him almost every time, could be a foul on him almost every single time. My issue is, though, that's a lame excuse. That's a poor excuse, okay? There's been other big centers out there. There's a few blatantly obvious blown calls that could have affected the outcome of that game, where the Badgers could have lost that game against Purdue. Tyler Wahl taking a charge out at the free throw line, for crying out loud. How is that a foul on him? How is it a foul on, was it Stephen Crawler or maybe it was Winter, when they're going up for a rebound? Zach Edey's jumping over them and his elbow is like pushing down on them, but it's a foul on those guys. Those to me are clear-cut fouls. To say that, well, he's really difficult to officiate because he's so big, bull. Okay? We've had other big men out there. We've had other centers out there. When it's clear and obvious calls like some of those, that's not an excuse. That's not an excuse that, well, it's really difficult to officiate him. Those, no. And those were situational calls. Those were calls that could have affected the game in terms of Wisconsin losing that. Got to do better. Got to do better than that. I don't accept that as an excuse, that it's just very difficult to officiate him. I don't accept that. With that, though, let's take a look at the bracket here quickly. So we know by now, a lot of you listening, you know how it is. UConn's the top seed. You got Houston, Purdue, North Carolina as the other top seeds out there. In the East, when I look at this, you got UConn, you got Iowa State. I think Iowa State kind of got screwed with their seeding, to be honest with you, to be put in the same region as UConn. Iowa State was in the running for a one seed, so I don't like that one for them. You got Illinois as your three, Auburn as your four, and then you've got San Diego State as your five. To me, this is UConn's bracket. I think UConn is the best team in the country. I think they're the best team in this tournament, and I think UConn is going to the Final Four in this East side. That, to me, is probably the easiest pick for me for Final Four picks. I'm going UConn. I'm going UConn to come out of the East there. Going to the South, you got Houston as the one, Marquette as the two, Kentucky as the three, Duke as the four, Wisconsin as the five. To me, this is the spiciest region, the South region here. Because I think you could say of those five teams that I just listed, I don't think you should be completely shocked if either one of those makes a run. Wisconsin is in a tough spot going up against James Madison. I know a lot of the national people out there are already picking that as the typical 12-5 upset. But if Wisconsin's playing now, like what we saw in that conference tournament, if that's how they're going to play in this tournament, they're going to win this game, and they got a shot to win a couple games. They got a shot to make a little bit of a run here. If that's the team we saw in the conference tournament, that's the team that we saw in the first half of this season, beginning part of the season, they got a shot to make a run. But Duke, up and down this year too. They've been really high. They've had some questionable losses, same as Kentucky. What version of Kentucky are we going to get? Marquette I would throw in there too as a two seed. But, you know, when you look at some of their big-time games, whether it was Creighton versus or UConn, you know, they couldn't pick up those wins. But they're getting healthier. They're getting healthier for this tournament too. And how much does that factor into it? I think it's a big-time factor when Marquette's getting Tyler Kolek back. That's a huge factor. So this one was probably the toughest region for me to pick. But when I look at this, I might have to go Kentucky in this one. Now, these are not my final picks, okay? These are I should have said this before. These are not my final picks. These are my first glance picks, first impression picks, okay, for Final Four. I might have to go Kentucky in this one. But I'm not confident, and there's a very good chance that I will change this when it's all said and done. There's a very good chance I will change this when it's all said and done. So the Midwest, you've got Purdue as your one. You've got Tennessee as your two. You've got Creighton as your three. You've got Kansas as your four and Gonzaga as your five. Now, if there was a year for Purdue, in my opinion, to make it to the Final Four, I think this is the year for them to do it. Coming off of being upset last year by a 16 seed, you've got to use that as motivation. I'm still not sold on their team. You know, do they have a complete team? Do they have enough guard play to get them into a run? But I look at how this region is set up for them. I think if there was a year for them to do it, it's got to be this year. I will say, South Carolina as a sixth seed can be dangerous. They can be dangerous. Lamont Paris over there has done a fantastic job. The former Badger assistant coach just signed a new deal. Look out for the number six Gamecocks. But if I had to do a first impression pick of a team coming out of this one, I'd still probably go Purdue. Because I feel like if the matchups favor them, just a first impression. Give me a little bit, though. I'll make my picks official on the upcoming episode of the podcast here. West Side, North Carolina is your one. Arizona is your two. Your three in this one is Baylor. Four, you've got Alabama. And five, St. Mary's. I'm going Arizona in this one, just first blush. Again, first impression here. Although, you know, Arizona's been kind of up and down a little bit here. I could see maybe, boy, I think Arizona's got a nice path to the Elite Eight. I don't like to say anything's easy, but I think that sets up. North Carolina, I think if they play Alabama, that might give them some fits. St. Mary's could also be a team that gives them some fits a little bit there too. So I'm going to go Arizona. So my first impression, Final Four, let's go UConn, Kentucky, Purdue, Arizona. First impressions. Not my final, but my first impressions. And then on the women's side, you've got your South Carolina as a one seed, Texas as a one seed, Iowa as a one seed, USC as a one seed. Let's go with the South Carolina bracket. Albany, one. South Carolina, Notre Dame's a two. Marquette's on there as a 10 seed, by the way. Oregon State's a three. Indiana's a four. And then Oklahoma's a five. South Carolina to me. South Carolina, going back, Dawn Staley, that group, they'll be in the Final Four. Albany, two. Iowa's a one. Number two is a UCLA. Number three is LSU. Spicy. Iowa, LSU, potentially in an Elite Eight matchup, rematch of last year's national championship to get back to the Final Four. Number four is Kansas State. Number five is Colorado. Iowa versus LSU in that Elite Eight. Iowa gets them this time to go to the Final Four. USC in the Portland three side there. USC is the one. Ohio State's a two. You've got Connecticut, UConn is a three. Virginia Tech is a four. Baylor is a five. I'm going to go Ohio State on this one. I think USC versus Iowa could be a really fun Final Four matchup, but I'm going to go Ohio State and two Big Ten teams going at it in the Final Four. And then finally in Portland, four, I'm going to go. There's Texas at one, Stanford at two. You've got NC State as a three. And then number four on there is Gonzaga. Number five for this one's Utah. Green Bay is an 11th seed going up against Tennessee. Got to go with the Phoenix over there. Best team, best women's basketball, college basketball team in the state of Wisconsin, bar none for how many years. That's a dynasty over there. Or it's more than a dynasty. That's a program over there, I should say. I'm going to go Stanford coming out of this one. So these are my first impression picks for the Final Four. South Carolina, Iowa, Ohio State, and Stanford. If you're listening to this podcast and you want to partake in our bracket challenge, just head to sportstalk1051.com and click on the Fan Cave tab. Fan Cave tab at sportstalk1051.com and sign up for the bracket challenge. Also on there, you might see a thing we call the bottle cap challenge. So do you remember back like in the early 2000s where you'd get a soda bottle, like a Mountain Dew or something this time of year, and then there would be a team name underneath it? I always got Pepperdine, it seemed like. But then you'd accumulate all these bottle caps with different team names on them. If you didn't get the buy one, get one, or get a free 20-ounce bottle cap, because then you turn that sucker in right away. But it was all these college teams on there, and if that team won a national championship, you got like a jersey, I think, was the prize. They don't do that anymore. And I loved that as a kid. So we're going to do our own version of this. Okay? SportsTalk1051.com. Click on the Fan Cave tab. Click on the bottle cap. So you got to scroll down a little bit on that Fan Cave tab, okay, to see the bracket challenge sign up and the bottle cap challenge sign up. Sign up for that. You're going to get a random team, depending on how many people we get signed up, maybe even two random teams over there, just like the bottle cap challenge. So it's a fun one over there. All right, tell you what, let's take a quick break and let's talk a little football coming up after these quick words. Perks. I love Perks. You love Perks. We all love Perks. And one of the best perks you could find in the Chippewa Valley is Hy-Vee Perks. Hy-Vee Perks is a free and easy program for Hy-Vee shoppers. Access exclusive Perks prices, earn discounts on gas when you purchase designated products at Hy-Vee, and save more with exclusive deals, offers, and rewards. The best part? It's free to join. Not a part of Hy-Vee Perks yet? No worries. Just stop by Hy-Vee in Eau Claire to sign up. Start taking advantage of the best shopping deals in the Chippewa Valley right now with Hy-Vee and Hy-Vee Perks. Are you thinking of taking a spring break trip this year? Or maybe you're already eyeing up that summer vacation, but you're not quite sure if you have the proper transportation for those road trips? Hey, that's where Toyce and Ford can help you. Toyce and Ford has a wide selection of new and used vehicles for you to check out. And at Toyce and Ford, they treat you like an honored guest. They will work with you on financing no matter what your budget may be. So if you're looking for that new vehicle this year, head to Toyce and Ford, located at 1000 Chippewa Crossing Boulevard in Chippewa Falls. Devondre Campbell, now former Green Bay Packer linebacker. Devondre Campbell, he had a little bit of time yesterday, it looked like. He went on Twitter, X, whatever, and I don't know if he just, like, looked at people's tweets or what, and just kind of something was boiling up, and he's like, I got to get something off my chest. But he kind of talked about his time in Green Bay, talked a lot about the defensive scheme, and it's kind of hard to follow a little bit because he was retweeting and answering questions or answering comments from fans or other people on Twitter/X, and I'm not going to go through all of it, but I'm just going to go through some of his tweets, and again, these, he's answering other people's tweets, so if it sounds like he's answering questions, because he's answering, if you're not familiar with Twitter, he's answering other people's tweets. Listen, man, there's so much I could say, but for the longest, I just kept it to myself and kept taking the blame. I don't work for the organization anymore, so anytime I see some false information, I'm going to correct it and tell the truth. If you don't want to hear the truth, I'm sorry. To which Adrian Amos, his former teammate over there in Green Bay, responded with an eye emoji, laughing emoji, and then Devondre said, they mad at me for telling the truth, bro. I guess they like liars. I just can't do it. Won't be out here lying on my name. For anybody thinking he was attacking the Packers as a whole, he said, why y'all keep saying I trash the Packers? I never once said anything negative about the organization. Best organization I've ever been a part of at this point. But it's some coaches I lost all respect for. All right. And then one tweet he was answering, somebody by the name of Robin Adams, asked him what changed from 2021 to 2022 to 2023. Said, listen, if I would have listened to half the stuff they were telling me, I would have never went All pro. All year, I heard was, can you do this? It'll help the scheme. I kept saying no all year, and look what happened. First team All Pro. Fast forward to 2022, 2023, I tried to be a team guy and play within the system and do what they asked. Quote, be more visual on the quarterback and not look up routes. Back up from the line of scrimmage so I'm not pressing every wide receiver or tight end. Look at what happened. They had me and Quay out there looking clueless. All right. One part here, too, where he kind of, you know, in one breath, you know, and then one where we mentioned where he said best organization he's played for. This one was a little bit of a shot at the organization itself. The organization didn't even call me to ask if I wanted to take a pay cut. They just released me after going in the media and saying me and Aaron Jones were a part of the future plans. They could have just told me the truth. I could easily be bitter, but I'm not. Now, maybe they did. Maybe Goody did. I don't really remember at a point where they went out and said Devondre's a part of the future. They could have. I'm not saying they weren't. But I can't remember off the top of my head where they went out there, like Goody went out there as vocal as he was about Aaron Jones. I can't remember that about Devondre. where they said that about Devondre. Now, I know they said we'd like all of our players back, and they say that every single year for everybody. So I don't know if that's what he's referring to. So this one was probably the one that caught the most attention. He went out there and answered, at just one in MKE, I'm assuming Milwaukee, tweeted at Devondre and said, that Joe Barry defense played a lot better down the stretch, and it's the same coach that made Devondre an All-Pro. Devondre answered, you want to know why we played better? Because I started going and having private meetings with Matt LaFleur, telling him we needed to be more aggressive. We needed more man, and we needed to blitz more. And what happened when they listened to me? We played well and won. It's no coincidence. Another tweet, all I know is the truth. I tried my best to help the organization win, but it's hard to win when you aren't willing to evolve. When my coaches aren't willing to listen to feedback that can make us better as a team, there isn't much I can do. All I can say is that I tried my best. I'm not mad at anyone. I just wanted to clarify some false information. He also said the 3 years I spent in Green Bay were definitely special, and I appreciate all the support you guys have given me over the last 3 years. And he did say about Quay is going to be just fine. They had him thinking too much. He's a dog. You don't make dogs think. You just let them play. He's a great player. I think this new system will fit him perfectly. So those are just a little bit of tweets, comments from former Packer Devondre Campbell, which when I see a lot of that, I mean, is he a little upset that he's no longer with Green Bay? Probably. Human nature. But I also think a lot of that stuff is that he said out there was probably proof or evidence or just reassures what a lot of us Packers fans griped about with this Packers defense. Not evolving. Not being as aggressive. Putting players in a position where they're not in a position to succeed. Putting that square peg into a round hole sort of thing. So when I read those tweets, when I read those comments from Devondre, I'm not totally surprised. I think it just kind of, in one hand, solidifies some of the stuff that we kind of thought that was going on. Is he a little upset that he's no longer in Green Bay? I'm sure he is. I mean, he said himself, the best organization he's been a part of to this point. But I also think he probably said some stuff that we all thought, that at least we all saw. And he just kind of maybe confirmed that up a little bit. And I like the part where he said about Quay, because I think Quay Walker is one of those guys that we all assume or we all think is going to benefit from this new defense, allow him to kind of play in space, roam a little bit more, be a little bit more aggressive. We hear all these positive stuff like from Jeff Hafley. And here's the thing. We hear this positive stuff. Jeff Hafley goes out there, new Packers defensive coordinator, has his press conference, says everything that we want to hear as Packers fans. Says everything perfectly. Press man, man-to-man, aggressive. All the key words, he hit it. We won't know until they actually start playing games now whether they actually do that or not. But we're all assuming, we all think that, all right, Quay's going to be a better player now because this defense better suits him. He's better suited as a weak side linebacker. He's going to be able to be more aggressive. Going to be able to, you know, go roam the field a little bit more. We can talk all about this, but until we actually see it starting in September, it's a big unknown. Now, for what it's worth, Devondre Campbell, remember in the season, middle of the season, when he had tweeted out, or towards the end of the season, he had tweeted out like something about, you know, not playing hurt anymore or anything like that. And then the Packers, you know, they you know, kind of sat him out for a week just to get healthy and such. And I remember Devondre also saying too that Matt LaFleur is his guy. Like, I think he really likes LaFleur, has a good relationship with LaFleur, and he mentioned about having those meetings with LaFleur. So I think he, you know, when he's talking about the coaches putting him in a position or not putting him in a position to succeed, it's Joe Barry, it's their former linebackers coach Kirk, who's no longer there. I mean, it's probably those guys. But I also think it's interesting, too, because when you go back to that NFLPA, the Players Association report card, and one of the knocks, a little bit of a knock on Matt LaFleur was some of the players said that they wished Matt LaFleur might have been a little bit more open to feedback. That kind of goes hand in hand here a little bit to what Devondre was saying, that maybe they would like to see a little bit more openness from Matt, from the coaches, for feedback. Kind of can connect some dots here. So, in terms of free agency, though, anybody who wanted a linebacker for Green Bay, there's like nobody out there right now. I mean, it is slim pickings. A lot of teams picking up the linebackers out there. So unless Green Bay maybe trades for a linebacker, or they're going to count on a rookie to come in and play that strong side, we'll see how it all plays out. Again, that strong side linebacker might only play 25-30% of the snaps, considering a lot of them go into nickel base or nickel defenses now. But still, it's a need. It's a depth thing over there. But if they were hoping to get somebody in that free agent market, boy, it's pretty slim out there. Probably the biggest one that, or the biggest football news over the weekend, well, one, Aaron Donald retired on Friday. So, I mean, one of the best to ever do it on the defensive side, calling it a career. And then Justin Fields finally getting traded. He's going over to the Steelers to back up Russell Wilson, it sounds like. All right, that is going to do it for us on this episode of the Man Cave Podcast, brought to you by our good friends from Hy-Vee and Toyson Ford. Don't forget to follow and subscribe to the podcast on your favorite podcasting platforms like Apple and Spotify. And if you got a couple extra seconds, if you can give us a 5-star rating and a positive review like on Apple so others can find the podcast. Until next time, I'm Dan Casper, and I will talk to you on the next episode of the Man Cave Podcast.